This special edition in-depth program on agriculture is brought to you in part by Norm Rosendahl Tiling Incorporated, Knoxville Farm and Home, Heartland Co-op of Indianola, Creative Landscaping, Sundance Realty, Motor and Auto Group, Dandee Farms, Ag Resource Management, and Johnston Hicks and Griffith. Join us for In-Depth every weekday as Dr. Bob Leonard goes in-depth on the local topics that you care about during our morning, midday, and evening magazines. If you would like to suggest a topic for In-Depth, send an email to bobleonard@kniakrls.com. Once again, thanks to our sponsors, DeBlumenhoff, Norris Automotive, Dutch Mill Supply, Sully Transport, Pella Feed Services, Church & Dwight, Knoxville Hospital and Clinics, Van Manen Seeding Chemical, and Don Kron CPA. Enjoy the program.
Welcome to In-Depth, an in-depth look at the interesting, educational, and timely topics affecting you right here in South Central Iowa and beyond. The one to count on for today's local news coverage is KNIA and KRLS. Now with today's In-Depth, here's Dr. Bob Leonard.
It's that time of year again, spring planting. What's on the minds of farmers? In the fifth part of a five-part program on agriculture, let's go in-depth with Chad Hart, professor of economics, crop market specialist, and ISU Extension economist. Professor Hart, what do you do at ISU at the Extension office?
My role is I'm a crop market specialist, which means I spend a lot of my time talking about why corn and soybean prices are doing what they're doing.
And then also livestock too, no?
I'll cover livestock as well. We do have Dr. Lee Schultz, who's sort of the livestock expert, so he's sort of the, if you will, to the comparable piece to me, but the idea is that if you're going to talk crops, you kind of need to know what's happening in the livestock side. Just like if you're going to talk livestock, you have to know what's happening in the feed or crop side.
And the USDA came out with a report at the end of last month that's of general interest, isn't it?
And they did. They came out, and they do this every year. At the end of March, they release what's called the Prospective Plantings Report. It is based upon surveying farmers. So in this case, they surveyed about 80,000 farmers across the nation. And the question was basically, you know, what's your planting going to look like this year? So we get our first really good survey-based estimate of corn, soybean, wheat, sorghum, barley, oats. You name the crop. This is where we get that first really good farmer-driven snapshot of what plantings will look like this year.
What's it looking like?
What's it looking like this year is that what farmers told us is, one, they're going to plant just more land in general. So we are going to see more cropland being utilized this year than we, especially as we've seen over the past couple. And that's due to soils being drier this year in the springtime, as opposed to the last couple of years. We've had some wet soils, especially as you look at the eastern corn belt. And, you know, wet soils tend to mean delays in planting. And sometimes, as has happened the past couple of years, sometimes that means less acreage being planted. And as we look at the major crops here in Iowa, you know, corn and soybeans dominate the landscape here, and both corn and soybeans are seeing increases in plantings this year. But a lot of that growth that's happening is happening outside of Iowa, especially when we're looking at corn acreage.
More in depth after this.
This special edition in-depth program on agriculture is brought to you in part by Shomo Madsen Umble Insurance in Prairie City, Subway in Pella, Asenbaugh Prairie Seed Farm, Twin Cedar Schools, Heartland Co-op of Prairie City, Cementec, Sims Custom Wash, Suter Family Farms, and Hormel Foods. Join us for In-Depth every weekday as Dr. Bob Leonard goes in-depth on the local topics that you care about during our morning, midday, and evening magazines. If you miss In-Depth, you can hear this week's programs in their entirety by visiting the podcast section at kniakrls.com. Once again, thanks to our sponsors, Gritters Electric, Indianola Memorial Works, ISU Extension and Outreach of Warren County, Sully Locker and Market, Dingham and Concrete, Two Rivers Cooperative, Laley, Marion County Bank, and Iowa Realty Knoxville.
I continued my conversation with Chad Hart, professor of economics, crop market specialist and ISU Extension economist. Is there still a preference for corn? Is that sort of the normal trend?
That is a normal trend here in Iowa, and that's still the case. When you look at, for example, here in Iowa, we're talking about 13.2 million acres being planted to corn versus 9.8 million acres for soybeans here within the state. But that's, while the tilt still favors corn, it's moved a little bit more towards soybeans this year compared to last year. And a lot of that may be related to the derecho that we had last fall, which has created a situation where since we got a lot of, especially in eastern Iowa, that corn that got knocked down, some of that will have inadvertently reseeded itself. And so we're going to have volunteer corn out there in these derecho stricken areas. In order to manage for that, we're going to see some farmers that may have been thinking about corn or the derecho having moved to soybeans in order to help manage that volunteer corn.
I see, because I'm presuming the soybean herbicides take out the corn?
That's the general thought, is they'll have an easier time managing for that. So you can think of it this way, that volunteer corn creates an issue because it's not in the right spots in the field. It's cross-pollinated with we're not sure what sort of varieties, and so it's not truly approved for sale. And so we have to handle it almost like a weed, if you want to think of it that way. And so, yeah, the idea is that we would plant soybeans in those fields because the soybean herbicides will help us deal with the corn.
Now, you said that there's going to be more acreage planted because of it's drier. For some reason, I was just thinking it was because the prices are better. Am I wrong?
Well, no, that's also the case. But when you think about it, the idea is whether prices are low or whether they're high, what we tend to find is that farmers plant often about as much as Mother Nature will allow them to plant. And so here what we're seeing are acreage levels that are reminiscent to say 2016, 2017, 2018. Those were times when prices weren't that high, but the idea is the soil conditions were drier and we tended to expand our acreage because Mother Nature allowed that expansion.
More in depth after this.
This special edition in-depth program on agriculture is brought to you in part by Knoxville Raceway, Dowie Pest Control, Marion County Rural Water, Herberger Construction, Marion County Bank, CNC Cycle, Napa in Knoxville, the Pella Hy-Vee and the Knoxville Hy-Vee, and Spray Tech. Join us for In-Depth every weekday as Dr. Bob Leonard goes in-depth on the local topics that you care about during our morning, midday, and evening magazines. If you would like to suggest a topic for In-Depth, send an email to bobleonard@kniakrls.com. Once again, thanks to our sponsors, Granny's Kitchen, Round Window Liquor, McCoy True Value, Tri-County Veterinary Clinic, Raceway Tire and Exhaust, Jefferson Plaza Leasing, Ardeen Downing, Klein's Quick Time, and Wagon Wheels West.
I continued my conversation with Chad Hart, professor of economics, crop market specialist, and ISU Extension economist. Now, I attended a meeting that you were at with a bunch of farmers and ag people there in attendance. It was a really interesting presentation, and one of the things that you talked about was that creeping drought moving up southwestern through western Iowa, and actually recently into southeast Iowa even. Is that a long-term problem for us? Give us the current state of that drought, would you?
Well, as you look, the drought that we were talking about last year stayed around throughout the wintertime. And so it's still there. As we look at the latest drought monitor, here for the state of Iowa, for example, it shows still a pocket of what we'd consider extreme drought in far northwest Iowa. And then abnormally dry conditions, sort of making, if you will, a sort of wrap around the state, covering from northeast Iowa, going through northwest, and then headed back down to the southwest. But even in those areas that aren't officially under a drought designation, we've seen drier conditions if we're looking out there. In the weather forecast, at least the long-term projections that have been released by the National Weather Service here recently, seem to indicate that the drought areas will persist as we look out through this summer, and we are worried about that possibly spreading more towards the eastern part of the state and the eastern Corn Belt as we look out, especially in June, July, and August. A lot of the forecasts are showing warmer than normal conditions through most of this year, along with drier than normal conditions, especially as we get into the summertime.
I was talking with a co-op manager the other day, and he was telling me how some of this, the new seeds, are really drought resistant, and that isn't as big of a problem as it used to be. Is that your thought on it as well?
Well, I think it is true that we have seen, the seed companies and the agricultural input companies really work hard to develop drought-tolerant crops and inputs. But it's still the case that drought does have an impact. It's just that impact has been lessened through the improvement of the genetics. You think back to, the last large-scale drought that we saw here in the nation, which would have been the crop drought that hit the 2012 crops. And what you saw was a very significant drought that had a very strong pull on yields, crop yields over time. But it wasn't, the severity didn't seem to be as bad as what we, when we look back and, sort of reference the droughts of the 1983 and 1988. And so we have seen improvement in yield conditions coming through a drought, but it's still quite a hit to the pocketbook, or especially that yield monitor, when we do see drought conditions develop.
More in depth after this.
This special edition in-depth program on agriculture is brought to you in part by Culver's of Pella, Verduft Agency, Harry's Ag Application LLC, Stan Drywall, Van Gorp Edwards Insurance, Central Iowa Organic Fertilizer, and Wickman Pig Company. Join us for In-Depth every weekday as Dr. Bob Leonard goes in-depth on the local topics that you care about during our morning, midday, and evening magazines. If you miss In-Depth, you can hear this week's programs in their entirety by visiting the podcast section at KNIAKRLS.com. Once again, thanks to our sponsors, Westside Muffler and Repair, Key Cooperative, Country Propane, American Family Insurance, Betsy's Boutique, Steenhook Appraisal, United Farmers Cooperative in Indianola, Champion Seed, and Farm Bureau Jeff Arkema.
I continued my conversation with Chad Hart, professor of economics, crop market specialist, and ISU Extension economist. Now, what's happening on the world stage that we need to be paying attention to?
Probably the biggest thing right now, what we're watching is, we're watching our planting conditions here. We continue to watch harvest conditions down in South America as well. When it comes to the major crops here in Iowa, South America is our major competition on the world stage, and South America has been wrestling some of the same issues we've been seeing here in the U.S., and that they had some droughty conditions down there. There have been some spotty showers moving through that has sometimes helped their crop, but sometimes just muck things up a bit. Sometimes you get that rain at the wrong time, and it delays harvest to create quality issues out there. And so we have seen that as well. And so when we're looking overall, we're seeing what's called a world stage where crop production has been somewhat challenging. Yet, going back to your previous question here, when we look at, have we improved the genetics? Well, arguably we have, because when we look at the world total production of corn and soybeans over the past few years, we have seen very strong to record levels of production worldwide, despite some of the weather problems that we've had in major producing regions.
Now, how about trade? There was a lot of talk early on when former President Trump's tariffs took effect that a lot of or foreign markets were, you know, moving to, you know, starting to buying more grain from South America, Russia, other places. Are we getting those markets back? Are they back? Did we lose overall with the tariffs, or did we come out okay?
Well, we lost for a little while, but they bounced back over the course of especially the last, say, 8 months or so. For example, when you look at the corn market, before the tariffs sort of took hold there, we would have been talking about, roughly about 2 billion bushels of corn in a normal year being exported to the rest of the world. Under the tariffs, especially the tariff fight that we had between ourselves and China, we saw those numbers drop by about 10%. Within this past, 6-8 months, though, we've seen not only a recovery of those sales, but actually an expansion. And as we look at from the perspective of last year's corn crop, so what we harvested last fall, we're on pace to set a record in terms of our corn exports, getting up at around 2.6 billion bushels. And we're seeing that same sort of thing had happened for the soybean market as well. In fact, soybeans were even more sensitive to the trade issues. We saw about a 20% cut due to the tariff fight. And when you look out there, and again, though, we've seen this rebound to basically record export levels this year as we look out. And a lot of it has to do with sort of a recovery within the Chinese market, that even though a lot of the tariffs still exist there, we're seeing a lot of product move despite the tariffs, but we're also seeing expansion of sales in other areas, especially as we look at Latin America and other parts of Southeast Asia.
Now, one last question for you. Let's just say that you were sitting down for dinner with President Biden and Secretary of Ag Vilsack, and they were asking you, and they were interested in what you had to say about how to build a vibrant rural farm economy. What would be your advice to them?
Well, probably the biggest thing right now is to build on top of this trade momentum that we've got right now. When you look at the resurgence that we've seen in crop prices, that is, I would say, providing signals of a renewed strength in not only the farm economy, but how that translates into our rural communities. That, you know, our agricultural markets have become highly dependent upon international trade, and so that anything we can do to help bolster and support those international trade efforts, those tend to pay dividends within our rural communities. And I think that's something that the Biden administration has heard as we went into this as well. When you look at sort of a lot of the talk about trade within the new administration, they have recognized the strength that we've seen over the recent past here and are trying to think about ways on which to build upon that strength.
And so are you optimistic?
Somewhat optimistic. I mean, there's always, I guess, other political things that might hamper these discussions. But, for example, as we deal with China, for example, we have seen the rhetoric between the new administration and the Chinese administration get a little bit coarser over the first couple of months, while at the same time, too, they continue to talk positively about trade. And so I think, you know, in this case, we are trying to say, okay, we're going to approach issues separately and you know, be able to maintain relationships in some areas while having some significant disagreements in others.
Thanks to Chad Hart for contributing to the program.
For KNIA KRLS News, this is Dr. Bob Leonard bringing you today's news and information in depth from our little corner of the universe.
An audio copy of today's in-depth program is available at KNIAKRLS.com on demand or for download. Just click podcasts. If you have topics or show ideas you'd like to hear in depth, contact KNIA KRLS by sending an email to Bob Leonard at KNIAKRLS.com. the one to count on for today's local news and the number one news and information source in South Central Iowa is KNIA KRLS.